Thank you, ladies. I want to tell you something about these ladies. They practice every Tuesday. They try to be prepared. And I tell you what else I like about them. They always ask me what I'm preaching. They want to be sensitive to sing something that goes along with the message. And they did that tonight. That last song goes exactly along with my message tonight. Now, I'm in Ecclesiastes. Wave your Bible at me if you got one. Now, please do this. If you have one, will you please follow me in the Bible? Because, see, I'm preaching, Michael, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I've got a little frustrated with preachers today. A lot of preachers, they want to, I'm not against stories, don't get that wrong. But an application, we need to do that. But I want you to know I get my help from the Bible. I like good expository, line upon line preaching. The older I get, the more I do it. Amen? And I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. And we're still talking about Solomon's view of life under the sun. Thus far, he is viewing life. Now, he is the guy that wrote Proverbs. How many of you try to read a proverb a day? I do. And it blows my mind, Steve Cook, that the same guy that wrote Proverbs wrote this book. It is mind-blowing. I mean, Proverbs has such wisdom. This book has such gloom. But you know what he does in this book? He really shows us like what life's really about in most people's living. Somebody help me preach. As we've looked at chapter 1, he asked the question, is life really worth living? I want you to know outside of Jesus Christ, it's not much worth living. But if you ever get saved and get hooked into the gospel of Christ, it's wonderful to live for Christ. And then he put his science hat on. And he really said nothing really changes. It is sad when our lives are like this. Everything's the same all the time. I want you to know something. When you have Jesus Christ, when you're hooked into the gospel of Christ, can I tell you what? His mercies are new every day. It's wonderful to serve God. I'm such a happy man when I'm serving God and living above the sun instead of under the sun. And by the way, there's so many preachers. Or people, they have no freshness. They have no joy. They're actually just slaves to this life. God help us. And then chapter number 2, he in what he done in chapter 1, in theory, he started experimenting in chapter 2, the verse 11 verses, and he talked about pleasure, enjoyment. He said, I tried to be satisfied by laughing myself. And he actually had comics to come in and perform in front of him to make him laugh, to kind of enjoy life. But I want you to know, you can bring all the entertainment you want to in front of you, but none of it satisfies outside of what Christ does. Because I'll tell you what, usually you'll have to have this, have to have more of that stuff. Then he tried drinking. And he said, I'll just drink myself happy. And how many people you know that they drink? That'll bring happiness. I want you to know something. I did that in my former life. I wanted to say this to you right now. I'm glad that since I've been saved, I hadn't had one sip of alcohol. I ain't going to drink. Don't need no alcohol. Oh, to bring his heartache and hangover. Somebody help me preach. And then he tried women. Yeah, man, he had, 700 wives, 300 concubines. That's a lot of mother-in-law. Somebody help me pray. Then he had personal employment. He had pool designer pools. He had built great houses. He was the one that built the temple. He accomplished a lot. And then when he's at the end of all his accomplishments, he said, it's all vanity. And then he had procured workers. Man, he had 30,000 people working for him. And Larry Curry, not only did he have 30,000 people working for him, but when they're, and he paid them, but then he had their children who were born to his household, and he had them working for him, but none of that satisfied him. Then he had possessed wealth. He had cattle or mammals. He had money. He had music. He had maidens. He had magnificence. He had materialism. He had it all. Richest man in the world. Still unhappy. Still unsatisfied. And how many people do you know, or are you in that boat? You've tried everything to make you happy. You try vacations. You try trips. You try everything. You try it all to get happy. I want you to know something. You can try all that junk you want to, but you'll never find real enjoyment outside of God. And I didn't say any of that was bad. I'm saying all that outside of Christ is bad. If that's what you're trying. Then he tried perpetual. And then he said, I just perpetually was felt worthless. I want to tell you what. I know some folks that have got themselves in that mindset that life is worthless. I want you to know something. If you ever really get hooked into God, and you ever get hooked into really living for God, and you ever get hooked into the Bible being your guide and the Holy Spirit helping you every day to live the Christian life, you'll have happiness and have joy and satisfaction. But I want you to notice this. I want to read these verses. Lois Gale, he does something in this chapter. And these verses that absolutely, when I read these this last 2 weeks of studying this, it blew my mind. So start with me at verse 12, and I'll try to finish the chapter out tonight. And I want you to notice what he does in verse number 12. He said, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool's walketh in darkness. And now notice this, and I perceived also that one event happened to them all. And I'll get to that in a moment. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which is now in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As a fool. But notice verse 17. Please look at this verse. Michael, the richest man in the world. Michael, the wisest man in the world. Michael, the guy that had more than anybody. Look what he says in verse 17. Look at it. I want you to see it. Therefore, Jeff, listen to this. I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous for me, unto me, for all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he rule over all the labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath a man all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? for all his days are sorrows and his travail and grief. Yea, his heart taking no rest in the night. This also is vanity. Dear Lord, he said, I hated life. Now, a lot of you say, well, I'm not like that. Now, hold a minute. You may not say you hate life, but you're just about as miserable if you can to be in the life you're in. I want you to know something. If you're miserable, it's your fault because you chose to live a life outside of God. He was spiritually unhappy and materially unhappy. And I want you to know something tonight. I want to talk to people who just hate life. And I'm going to make a few statements. Can I make a few statements by way of introduction? You can't love life and never smile. Good preaching, Reverend. You can't love life and never give. You can't love life and have an undercover joy. You can't love life and never have a testimony to share. You can't love life and not enjoy the Bible. And you can't love life and not have your prayers answered. And you can't love life and not want to be a soul winner. You always said, the rich man, the wise man. I'm going to make a statement. I want every one of y'all to listen to this statement. I want you to hear it. The most miserable person in this room and in the world today is the man on earth is not a lost person, but a person that's saved that's acting like a lost person. Ain't nobody. They got one foot in the world and one foot in the Christ, and they are miserable. I want you to know you'll never be happy in Christ. You'll never be satisfied in this life until you get both feet in God's work and God's movement and be sold out, hooked, line, and sinker to God. You'll never be happy. You'll always be struggling to find yourself. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. That's straight preaching, but it's pretty. Now, I want to try to dissect this passage. Not spend a long time, but I want to spend a little while. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 12, he said, I made a wisdom comparison. And what he done is he compared a person that was wise in this world, and a fool in this world. And he said, I want to compare them. And verse 12, he had a purposeful attention. Now, by the way, you may be wise in this world and where the world goes and still not be wise in God. Somebody help me preach. James chapter 3 talks about the wisdom of the world that is sensual and wicked. But the wisdom of God is pure, is peaceable, placid, pardoning, practical, persistent, and plain. And then he, in verse number 12, notice this. He said, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been done already? Well, he really is saying is, he said, I live for stuff and look at my life. How many of you agree with me that we can watch people and see how miserable they are and how they drowned in their sickening sin? And if you're smart, you can learn from others' mistakes before you have to make them yourself. I've pastored a bunch of people in 43 years. And I want here at this church. And I want you to know I've seen some come and I've seen some go. And I've learned a lot of lessons in life of things I want to be like and things I definitely don't want to be like. And I want you to know it'd be better for you to learn from their mistakes and even your mistakes and not repeat them again instead of living a life of misery. Amen. He said, I wasn't happy. I hated life. And by the way, I know people that choose the wrong music. They choose wine. They choose multiple affairs. We're living in a country that sex has gone wild. I can't hardly watch TV anymore. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to chase a rabbit, but I'm going to chase a little one. If you don't think this, you're blind. Those people in Hollywood and those people that are producing TV shows have an agenda. They're promoting homosexuality. They're promoting everything that's wicked under the sun. And we watch it every day. And you know what? Then we quit taking a stand on these things because we think that's normal. It's not normal. It's wicked and it's perverse and it's ungodly. Somebody help me preach. But they're putting it into us 24/7. That's good preaching, Reverend. Then I see a prospective advantage. Look at verse 13. He said, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. Now, I'm not going to deny something here. If you're wise and make some good decisions, even if you're a lost man or a carnal man, you'll probably be better off than the fool. Amen? That's really what he's saying here. And he compares the two. But then verse 14, I see a woeful cessation. Even though you may be wise in this world and have succeeded in this world, do you know this? That you're both going to die. Somebody help me preach. I see people, they're so foolish. I saw one of the saddest things in the world. It's been a few months ago when we were still visiting the hospitals. And this was sad, Michael, it was sad. What people let their body go into their bodies. And I seen a dear lady, God bless her. She was going in for a lung treatment. She had one of them things in her throat on tubes. And I thought, Lord God. And you know what she done soon as she got out of the checkup? They brought her outside and she lit up a cigarette. And done burned her lungs up with them. How many of y'all agree that's foolish? How many of you agree some of the junk we watch on the computer and some of the chat rooms you get into, it's foolish? Whew. Praise the Lord. Good preaching, Reverend. See, there was a common event. He said they're both going to die. And then look at verse 16. There's a certain expectation. Look at what it says. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than the fool. Some people that are pretty smart, Jeff, and have made it in this life and have got wealth and done pretty good, they're not any more remembered than the fool is. Because their wisdom wasn't in God. It was in this world. And you may be one of them people that say, they say about you, boy, he's a successful guy, really? Really? I know a lot of people that are successful financially, have a lot of good stuff, that are the most miserable, unhappy, unthankful people in this whole planet. Good preaching, Reverend. Look at verse 17. Had a continued exasperation. Look at him. How many imagine this? He said, I hate life. I want y'all to know something. I got a lot of issues. But I got to be honest with you. I love God and I love the life I have in Christ. I had somebody come to the office this week and said, man, you're enthusiastic for a 69-year-old man. Remember that, 69. Man, you seem like you're full of joy. Denny and I was talking this week. We were talking about retirement and all that stuff, and I don't, Denny, I ain't retiring. I might die here, but I don't have no aspirations to do that. I'm happy in Jesus. I thought, what would I do if I didn't do what I'm doing? I tell you what I'd do. I'd go find somewhere to preach every week. Amen. So I might as well stay here and torment y'all. Hello? See, life outside of Christ can be miserable. But life built upon Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Amen. In verse 18, he had a worth or wealthy consideration. Look what he said in verse 18. Yet I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun. Look what he said. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Here's what he was saying. He said, I can't enjoy my stuff because I'm worried about when I die and when I lose it. That's the truth. I know some people got a lot of good stuff. I've got a lot of good stuff. I got a lot of good things. But ladies and gentlemen, one of these days you're going to die and you're going to leave it. Amen. And ain't no use you living a miserable life dreading leaving it. I want to enjoy every bit of it right now. Somebody help me preach. Look at verse 19. He had an unknown leave. Look what it says. And who knows whether the guy I leave it to, should be a wise man or a fool. Look at him. He was so upset that whoever came after him was going to misuse what he had worked so hard to get. Then he had an unpleasant life. Verse 19. And who knoweth whether he shall be wise or fool, yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I show myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. And by the way, I want to say this to you. A lot of people are married to things and stuff. And listen to me. Preacher Smith's not preaching against having things. But Preacher Smith is preaching about things having you. Amen. And look at verse 20. This really blew my mind. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair. You say, what's that mean? He had a pity party. I wish my heart to... What he said is, I just got myself into depression. Richest man on the planet. Got more than anybody. But his mindset was all, Jeff, under the sun, what I can accomplish, and forgot the God who gave it all to him. I'll get to that in a moment. By the way, ain't nobody in this room would have a thing if it wasn't for God. And I'll get to that. I want you to see that in a minute. I don't want to rush ahead in my sermon, but here's where he was. He had an ongoing anxiety. Brother Michael, verse 20. He worried about losing it. He worried about leaving it. And he made him mad that he worked so hard and he was going to lose it. And I know people that are married to their jobs, married to their cars and they got to fix them, and married to their houses and they got to repair it. And by the way, this last little ice storm, bringing about a little humility, you're a preacher. I was sitting in my little room. And all of a sudden, something hit the house. Boom! I mean, busted my house, shook the whole thing. I said, that wasn't Marguerite. And I want you to know what happened. The ice storm, the tree hit my house, big old oak. Smacked it, tore up the siding, tore up her chicken house. I was kind of happy about that. And no, I wasn't. Tore the chicken house, tore my chain link fence up. But I want y'all to know when I went out there, I kind of giggled. Because I want you to know my life isn't that house. My life's not in a piece of siding. I didn't get in me a moaning and say, oh, well, bad off Preacher Smith has it. I'm thankful that I got through the storm. I'm thankful that I'm saved. Hey, that junk could be replaced, but the joy in your heart can't be replaced by anyone but Jesus. I'm trying to help. I know this is straight preaching. It got me under conviction so much. See, let me go over this one more time so nobody misunderstand this. God's not preaching against stuff. No, he isn't. No, he's preaching about people that's trying to make stuff their fulfillment. I want all you to know what you have doesn't fulfill you. Because most likely you'll have to have something else that's better than what you have. Let me tell you, there's nothing like having Jesus. Amen. In an overwhelming agony and an occupying apprehension. Can I say this? I want you to get these two statements. Jeff, I want to get these out. And I'll be finishing in a moment. The money's not evil. Help me. It's the love of money is the root of evil. Listen to these two statements. Money is a universal passport to everywhere but heaven. And money is a universal provider of everything but happiness. Somebody help me preach. See, here's what we got built into our society, that we can get joy and happiness off a shelf. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just go to my shelf and make me happy. Ain't going to happen. How many of y'all people know people that are absolutely miserable and they have more than most people? Anybody know anybody like that? I mean, what's happened? I tell you what's happened. You can't buy happiness. And you can't buy joy. Because see, y'all sang it tonight. I choose Christ. I want y'all to know when I found about him and I got saved and he came to me and saved me and convicted me, my life. How many of your life's different since he came in? How many knows the joy of Jesus? Man, it's wonderful to be saved. Then I want you to notice lastly, and I'm done. In verse 24 and on, a worthwhile conclusion. He makes some statements in these next three or four verses that are good statements, and I want you to hear them. There's nothing better. Now notice this. He started looking at things differently. There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. See, first of all, I see a dutiful process. You work and you get. How many of y'all agree with me, our society? By the way, there's nothing wrong with working hard and getting things. But I'm going to tell you what our society is getting. And I'm going to preach this, and I might get in a little trouble. There's nothing wrong with welfare to people that need it. Now, but I want you to know what our society is preaching. Our society is preaching, give me, give me, give me. Wipe out my student loans. Well, they didn't wipe mine out. Hello. Give me, give me. How many more stimulus checks are we going to get? Right. Do you really think that's the answer? No, now, I want to tell you, it might seem like the answer. But I want you to know something. Our society is becoming an entitlement society. Amen. That's why the AOC or whatever that nuthead woman is, is successful because she wants to give everything away. Right. Now they want to have universal wealth. Whether you work or not, you get money. That's not from God. Amen. That's not right. Good preaching, Reverend. That's right here in the Bible. Then I seen a delightful perspective. Look at verse 25. I'm hurrying. For who can eat or who else can hasten unto more than I? He said, man, I've been blessed. Then I see a delightful perspective. Man, I want to tell you. And then a divine prosperity. Look what he said in verse 24. Everybody, please look at that. This also I saw that it was from, say it. I want to make a statement. Jeff, ain't none of us would have what we have if God wouldn't have blessed us. And every good thing we got, every blessing we got, has come from the hand of Almighty God. And I look back on my life, and I want y'all to know something. God has done a work, and it's Him. My salvation's by the hand of God. Everything about what I have is the hand of God. I'd have nothing tonight if it wasn't for God's hand. Yes, I've worked hard. But we wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for God. Who you think give you brains enough to get your college education and get your skill and do what you do? Who's kept you even healthy enough to earn a living? You know, I know I'm going back to the doctor next week. But I got, y'all, and I do have atrial fib and a few things buzzing around in there. But I'll be honest with you, Jeff. Even through some of the trials, I've been pretty healthy. I haven't hardly missed over two Sundays at one time in my whole ministry. You say, why? God's hand's been on me. God's blessed me. Somebody ought to raise your hand. Thank God for what He's done for us. Thank God for the things we had. Thank God for the good things. Man, I thought about it. It's divine prosperity. It came from direct providence. God Almighty is behind the scenes in your life. Amen. Then look at verse 26. Notice this, directed prudence. For God giveth to a man that is good in the sight, in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. You know what God does? He not only provides the tangible things, but aren't you glad that He provides wisdom and knowledge and joy? Man, look at me tonight. It's wonderful serving God. But I want you to notice in 26b, a distinct punishment. Look what he said. But to the sinner, he giveth travail and to gather and to heap up that he may give it to him that is good before God. And this also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. I know a lot of lost people, and I know a lot of carnal people that God has put their judgment on. We look at the sports world. There's some people in the sports world. You can learn a lesson from their life. Them, you know, some of them athletes have everything, but they're downright crazy. And some of them just brought the judgment of God on them. Hello? Am I preaching? It's quiet in here. But I want you to notice lastly, I'm doing a depressing prognosis. Look what it said. That he may give to him that is good before God. And those sinner people, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And a lot of people that says they're saved that only have a profession and not a possession. How many people you know, they profess Christ, but you don't see much Christ? Someone help me. And all they do is live under the sun. Now, I'm done. But you got a choice, really. How many agree we all got a choice? We can be this. We can hate life and dread every day of our life You know why I came to work today? I was happy about it. I enjoyed it. I did. I mean, whoa. I got out, man, I liked it. And I know people, when they step out of the house, they're miserable. And when they step back in the house, they're miserable. And you know it's a choice. You can either live for God and live above the sun, or you can live a defeated life under the sun and end up like Solomon and have it all, but yet have nothing.
Right.
You say, what's the choice? Ladies, y'all saying it. What is the choice? I choose Christ. I choose faith. I choose joy. I choose Christ, Michael. I can honestly tell you from January 31st, you know, Bill, you're the one got me, helped get me saved, influenced me from January 31st, 1973 till today when I chose Christ. It's been wonderful in Jesus. I'm not going to say I had made some bad decisions and had some ups and downs, but I want you to know most of my life, when I have chosen Christ and lived right, man, it's been wonderful. All right, let's bow our head. How many tonight would say, Preacher Smith, I love God, but I have been letting life get me down, and I'm somewhat miserable. And I don't want to live miserable. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Just slip your hand up. I'm saved, but miserable. God bless you. Stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray. If you need to pray, you come. If you're here tonight and you're lost, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in change of his soul? If you're here tonight and lost, you come. You're here tonight and just a professing church member, but you've really not been saved. Come. Our Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the enlightenment. Lord, what a passage of scripture that we're getting and dissecting. And help us, Lord, as we continue in these weeks to come. In Jesus' name.